You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Recently, I conducted a series of podcasts with investment professionals from Investec Asset Management in Cape Town, London, and Singapore. The theme was Investment Views 2020, and these podcasts are aimed at professional investors and clients of Investec Asset Management. Now, though, the company has allowed access to them for strictlybusinesspodcast.com. These are a valuable resource for any serious investor, and we will be posting two per day for the next 2 weeks. We hope you enjoy them. Welcome to this Investec Asset Management Investment Views 2020 podcast. With me is Philip Saunders, co-head of multi-asset growth at Investec Asset Management in London. Philip, last year, around about this time, you were looking forward to 2019 with a little bit of trepidation, saying that there were risks, a lot of risks, but also opportunities. And it seems to me that as the year went on, it sort of enhanced the fact that that view might be brought even more sharply into focus this year.
Yes, well, I think what happened towards the end of last year is that that our outlook for 2020 sort of pretty much happened in the final few months of the year. We were concerned about the headwinds, particularly the Fed tightening monetary policy and beginning to shrink its balance sheet, and also continuing tightening in China. And we felt that in a highly financialized world which is less about economic fundamentals and more about liquidity, this was potentially, you know, uncomfortable. And yes, what happened was that bond yields hit a level that caused the meltdown in equity markets, and we had this sort of big washout in equity markets in the final months of the year. So moving into 2019, we changed our view. We basically added back equity exposure. We continue to run with a very long duration strategy. And by and large, that's proved to be quite effective because equities rallied from their lows. Everybody continued to worry about trade conflict, slowing global growth. And that helped to propel bond yields down to extraordinarily low levels. And so by and large, from a returns perspective, you know, actually 2019 has turned out to be pretty good. You've made money in bonds, you've made money in equities. Sure, if you were heavily invested in value stocks, that hasn't been such a great policy. But there are opportunities also in gold, which rallied strongly against both equities and bonds. So actually, notwithstanding the drumbeat of negative news that unfolded in the course of 2019, you know, actually there have been things to do for investors and returns. You know, hopefully we've got some time to go. Actually, it'll turn out to have been a reasonably good year from a performance perspective.
Very good. But we have to look forward to 2020 now. 2019, you made money in bonds, you made money in equities, the gold sector, the gold asset class did well as well. Can this continue in 2020? In other words, what are your risks and opportunities for 2020?
Well, I think the way we're looking at it is that, you know, we've got to sort of still keep in mind the fact that we're not in a normal environment. 11 years into a global growth cycle, European interest rates are in negative territory. The Fed has failed to normalize interest rate policy and is having to expand its balance sheet again. So we live in these abnormal times. But notwithstanding that, I think that investor concerns about an inevitable recession next year, we think, are somewhat wide of the mark. Global growth has been slowing. The US bucked the trend, but then joined that trend. And in a way, basically, the US is behind that sort of, you know, is at the end of this process. But we're beginning to see signs of light outside of the US, particularly in China, where growth has stabilized, where the yield curve is steepening. And there's some early indications that the manufacturing recession that has characterized the last 2.5 years or so, that has probably run its course. Clearly, you know, there can be shocks. The whole trade thing can blow up again. So that's not a done deal. There are risks. We're late in the cycle at any rate. And so therefore, it's probably important not to get too carried away. But I think we've seen the start of some significant changes. Bond yields have started to back up. We think that they've got a long way to go. We think yield curves will steepen next year. So we've gone from a position of having very long duration to having minimal duration, because we think bonds are poor value and they're sort of cyclically challenged. And on the equity side, I think we've seen a huge swing away from cyclical stocks that really sort of reflect investor concerns about a recession next year in the US. And if that were not to happen, then I think you've got potentially very big rotations to take place in equity markets. And we've been positioning to actually take advantage of that. And also potentially, finally, a shift out of US equities into equities in Europe and particularly Asia, where the sort of longer term strategic case and valuation seem to be pretty attractive to us.
It seems to me that the case that you made this time last year has extended itself longer than you expected, but in 2020 it may come to the fore. And your positioning is going to be very, very interesting indeed, because after what you've just said, there may be some significant shifts in your positioning, in your strategy. You've outlined a few of them now, but maybe just embellish the points you've just made and bed it down for us.
Yes. So during this particular market cycle, which has been proved to be a very long one, US assets and the dollar have been extraordinarily dominant. And every time investors have thought it was right to sell US equities on value grounds, you know, it might have worked briefly, but by and large, you know, it's US equity performance has been dominant. And that's because basically, you know, growth stocks have been the sort of key leaders. And, you know, where are a lot of these growth stocks, the likes of obviously Google and Microsoft, for example, you know, they're listed in the US. Whereas if you look at the European index, it's dominated by, you know, traditional companies like banks and utilities that have struggled. It's interesting that that's been driven primarily by extremely strong relative earnings performance. The US basically has trounced everywhere else, but that's showing signs of ebbing. So that sort of relative earnings performance has begun to narrow already. And if we look at growth differentials, I think people are extremely negative about European growth prospects. They're pretty negative about Asian growth prospects. But the US economy has slowed down after the Trump bump, i.e. significant fiscal stimulus. And so now we're seeing sort of greater convergence. And as I said earlier on, the US economy seems to be lagging other economies. So we think that those differentials are exaggerated at the moment in terms of expectations for next year. And they're beginning to narrow at any rate. And so we expect that trend to play out. And that will have a significant impact on, we think, the performance of the dollar, which we expect to weaken from its sort of high levels of this year. It's been in a bull market cycle for a number of years. And we think that the beneficiaries of that will be, other currencies. You know, even the euro might basically rally from where it is at the moment. Asian currencies have scope to rally, and indeed it will take some of the pressure off the emerging world.
Philip, thank you very much for that. That's Philip Saunders, who's the co-head of multi-asset growth at Investec Asset Management in London. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.